Wolf dog.
Okay.
You think we're recording? You're pretty.
Yeah. I am 80% sure we are recording.
Live from a mysterious oil tanker in somewhere deep in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. This is Joystick Podcast number 145.
Oh. Hold me like the winter holds the cold.
Welcome to the Joystick Podcast for Friday, July 16th. I'm your host, Chris Grant.
This is Ludwig Kitzman.
I'm Justin McElroy.
Hi.
Hey.
Things are, the show might sound the same to you this week. You're at home, or at work maybe, or in the car listening to it. Or maybe you're jogging, which I've never understood, because how are you exercising with us droning on monotonously?
Or you've been buried alive with your iPod.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, I hear people say that, like, it's my I'm taking you guys to the gym with me. Like, what is less energizing than listen to a bunch of zilches prattle on about Mario and Mario fashions?
Blah, 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 Mario.
Give me, like, Eye of the Tiger or some Irene Cara or something.
Some of that TikTok stuff.
TikTok, working out, getting your muscles strong.
Right. What
start everybody.
What in fact is different this week is Justin is coming at us live from the nation's capital.
Yeah, for the next month. If you need
that's
me,
pretty cool.
I'm in the surrounding, the DC area. So yeah, this is where I'm at. My wife is taking the military's tropical medicine course. She's actually the only civilian in the class, but I have to take her to like this the Naval Health Center every day and have to go through military security and everything.
What is this course called? What is it called?
It's the military's tropical medicine course.
So it like teaches you how to make aspirin out of pineapples.
Yeah, it's like
it's some Gilligan's Island stuff.
Stethoscope out of coconut. You cut that out. Tie a bamboo reed to it. So that's what she's doing.
It's where? Bethesda Naval, I'm guessing?
It is. There's a large naval. Yeah, yeah. It's a large naval health.
Have you been gazing at it very often?
Yeah. That's Bethesda Naval Hospital. That's where I think my grandma worked there, my aunt worked there.
Really? Yeah. Well, there's also University of Health Sciences, University of Military Health Sciences, and that is where she's taking this class. So, anyway, that's what she's doing. So I'm here.
I saw
people at my house also. So F you, criminals.
I saw that Ben Kuchera was in D.C. too for some training for his wife. I don't know if it was the same thing.
I don't know if somebody's at his house, so rob away.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can rob them. It's like video game journalists traveling to D.C. so their wife can do medical training week or month.
Yeah, it's going to be a full month. So, I don't know. It's kind of fun. We live in a room in a dude's basement.
You can go check out the wasteland?
Yeah.
Sort of thing? Yeah.
It is a little disconcerting after playing so much Fallout 3 to have like, oh, yeah, I remember this place. It's bombed out. Looks good.
Looks good now.
I got to sort it out, I guess. Got fixed up. Fixed up real nice.
Are you close to a metro line? How close are you to the metro?
There is actually a metro at the place that... there's a stop at the place that Sydney is working at, so it's fairly
so you could
fairly
drive
close.
There and metro in. Yeah, metro in D.C. is great. You can get pretty much anywhere. It's nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
Except for
when it got bombed out. In the war. War never changes.
Yeah, you could still use the metro. It just didn't have trains running and it was full of mutants.
Yeah. But other than that, it's fine.
Some people would argue that it's still full of mutants, but that's mean. That's really mean.
It's not so nice. You know what I was thinking we should do? I mean, this is exciting, and I like talking about it, but I think maybe the readers would rather hear about what games
we've been playing. No, but this has been, it's been a good experience so far for me. You know what, Chris?
What's up?
I would say it's been a capital experience.
What are you playing?
That's good. I can tell you're excited to do this because you use the shorter one.
He's the punchy one.
He's the punchy one. Because we've actually been playing games this month, or this week. At least I have. Games that are fun.
I got two in my belt this week alone.
Bam. Whoa. Just right there.
Right in front of your face.
Don't even worry about it.
You don't want to start.
Whoa. Go ahead.
Go first. So number one, this morning, today, I finished Secret of Monkey Island 2 Special Edition LeChuck's Revenge. I gotta say,
the ending's amazing, right?
I think they did a stellar job with that. It plays a lot better than the first one. It's not doing this goofy point and click on the gamepad thing. There's some scenes that are tough to do, like that are timing dependent, that you're doing with the gamepad, and it's just not accurate enough. There's some UI elements and control elements that I would have cautioned against. Like, there should be a way to slow down your cursor to be a little more accurate.
Oh, yeah.
Can't do that. There should be a way to... there's a goofy thing. It brings up a radial menu. When you hold right trigger, it's context sensitive, depending on what you're hovering over. Except the selections, which look radial, you know, like if you were to pull your analog stick, you know, in a circle, swing it around, it would highlight one of them. But in fact, doesn't work that way. You have to hit left or right on your analog stick to go between the different options.
Yeah,
if you
strange.
Point like straight up, it doesn't pick the straight up option.
That's
it's
weird.
Like,
I know what you're saying.
Very weird.
It's like a radial menu that you operate digitally.
Right. Digitally, yeah. Very.
But otherwise, it's like very similar to the interface that they use in Curse of Monkey Island. So like you click on the item, and then you kind of get all the options that you can do on that.
Right, and it's context sensitive for that item. So some items will have certain things. It's weird because some items have like push and pull, but you can't push or pull them. So it's like, why'd you give me that option?
But it's fun to try. Like, did you try picking up Kate Capsize while she's handing out flyers? That's funny.
I don't think so.
Because he starts chatting her up as soon as you do that.
Oh, pick up. Cute. Yeah, I mean, the whole thing was just done really well. The voice acting, just like the first game, is exceptional. The art is even better this time. The animation, you know, it's not awesome. Certain characters, like LeChuck, has like a couple good animations.
But they very smartly kept it, the animations, pretty close to what you would expect. I mean, Stan's animation looks like Stan's animations. They didn't try to modernize those too much, I felt like.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Overall, I mean, you can control it with a gamepad, which made the experience a lot better for me. You know, in the first game, the first special edition, you know, you were still doing this kind of goofy point and click. Here's the thing I didn't remember. So I probably played Monkey Island. I probably played it with like an AOL walkthrough when I was, I don't know, whatever, 12 or something. That game is punishing. I mean, some of those puzzles are brutal.
You don't get punished for failing them. They're just difficult. Like the hints that they give you are extremely subtle.
Right. I mean, the monkey wrench? I didn't remember that one.
See, that's the one that everyone complains about, that puzzle. But when I played that game, I was like, oh, this is hilarious. It'll be a monkey wrench.
Man, I did not put the monkey wrench together.
I'm stuck on that. I'm stuck on that puzzle where you have to figure out the code with the hand signs. If this is 3, then 3 is 5.
Okay, so here's how you do this one. That's way easier than I thought. And Aaron and I were sitting there staring at it. We couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, you overanalyze it.
You overanalyze it, right. It's a lot simpler than you think. I mean, I was writing it down and trying to figure out some type of pattern or some type of cipher that I could use to...
Take this. This is my brain, everybody. This is freaking valuable insight into the kind of person you're listening to talk. In the analytical fashion, I beat this game 6 months ago. Literally 6 months ago, I got on a kick where I played all the Monkey Island games. I beat this game 6 months ago.
And you're having trouble with this puzzle.
And I'm having trouble with this puzzle. I'm having trouble with the whole freaking game. I don't remember anything. Yeah, today I was playing and I opened up the model lighthouse to get the lens out. And I felt so smart because I remembered that I had to do that. It was like, wow, that was 100 years. It was literally, no joke, 6 months ago I beat that game.
That's the thing that makes it so difficult for me to kind of gauge how difficult the puzzles are, because I've played the game so many times that I'm not even thinking when I'm playing it. I'm just like, oh, I know what to do now. Like, I'm just going through the motions. So I kind of wish there was a way for me to kind of see it in a way that, you know, I don't know the solutions. Like, what were my thought processes back in the day? What did I think about?
And it's tough, right? Like, it's almost impossible to do it unless you haven't played it in.
You can't separate your present self to the point where you don't remember.
One of the things I had trouble with is occasionally there was lines that you couldn't hear, so I'd switch over to the old version to see it in text. And then also, one of the features that they added that was kind of neat was object highlighting, and I only had to use it a couple times. But, you know, in the original game, if you go back to the old screen, it's easier to see a lot of the objects. They kind of stand out in their background a little more. And in the new game, it's really easy to lose that stuff. And so they added this object highlighting, which was really nice because you can go to a space where you're like, huh, it's weird that there's like nothing to touch here. It's empty, and you kind of know there should be. You do object highlighting, and you know, on the beach at the end of the game, I kind of remembered that there was like stuff on the beach, but I couldn't find it. It was like just small and difficult to see. Seabrung, I mean, it's $10. It comes with a director's commentary, which I want to go through and play with that on like immediately.
Oh, it's weird. I don't know how they do it on the 360. I've been playing on the iPad, and it's fun because I can. It's always on there. The option to do it is always on the screen when there's a screen that they have. Mm-hmm. It's sort of the way it works is it's sort of tied to a location. So you'll go into the location, like the first time you go into the what's the town in Scab Island?
Woodtick.
When you go, the first time you go into Woodtick, you see like a little microphone in the upper right hand corner illuminated, and you click on it and it, or you tap on it for the iPad, and it plays that clip. But that clip is always tied to that location. So when you go back to Woodtick again, the microphone will be illuminated again, and you play it, and it's and they'll play the sound. It's sort of similar to what they did with Half-Life. I don't know if you ever did that, where like it was tied to the object, and while you're in that space, I don't know. But
I kind of want every game ever to have that mode. But
yeah, it's a really underused feature that I think is really neat.
It's so easy.
One of those Factor 5 N64 Star Wars shooters had, I think it's one of the, maybe one of the Starfighter games had director's commentary that you could listen to on an N64 cart. Which is very strange.
It seems so easy to do. Like, you get developers and various developers in a room for, like, a couple hours, and you pipe it into the game. Like, it, you know, all things considered, it's not a ton of extra work. Either way, I mean, I highly recommend, if you have any affection, it's got a good hint system, too, so if you're stuck at all and need to use hints, it gives you hints, and then eventually, if you ask enough times, it'll just give you the answer.
How many did you use?
What's that? I only had to use a couple, and I saved before I used them. Sneaky. So I could get the achievement for not using hints. Like going back to the voodoo thing after you did that one thing, like I would never have gotten that. Not ever.
Justin, does it bother you that we work with someone who is so egregiously dishonest?
Yeah.
He saves
points
before so that old, he gets the achievements. He's lying.
Old points whore Grant. That's what I call him.
I mean, I'm very pleased with the game too. I mean, I read the 1UP review and I was a little disappointed to read that, but honestly, a lot of those things that, I mean, a lot of the problems that come with the original game, because the new game is running on top of the original game. Like, that's the compromise is you get both versions at the same time. You can switch between them, but as a result, the original game, you know, the music doesn't sound quite right. It's a little wonky, the emulation. And there are a few things missing, but I mean, none of those things. I could not get angry about any of those things because they're not. None of them are the things that I really value about that game. You know, the IMU system is cool, but even in the developer's commentary, they say that nobody noticed it, and I haven't noticed it. I mean,
but the point about IMUs is that
it's not distracting.
You don't notice it. Like, the point about it is that it's like so invisible. Yeah, you know, I think what they should have done to ameliorate this situation, and I think what Frank's point is, you know, you have this ability to play the game with the other game running underneath it, and you press the back button or whatever to flip back and forth. That's awesome. I think what they should have enabled is also another option when you start a new game, just to play it 100% straight emulation, like straight ScumVM, you know, no.
Sure, but I mean, his conclusion was that it was overall was a poor package, which I, you know, completely disagree with. Because
if
of all the good stuff
for,
you get with special edition. I mean, the voice acting alone is
historical document. It's not good. And I think that was his point of view.
But this is the value in having different reviewers, right? Like different people. Like, I think he
I thought his review was really thorough, and he really, like, backed it up. It's
that's where he was. Right, that's where he was coming from. I don't think he was wrong about anything. I thought he was just, I mean, that's, as someone who's, I get the compulsion, right? Like, if there's a game and you really love it, and you'd like to be able to, it sort of has to do with the stuff like Henry Lockwood is doing, where trying to...
Frank is one of the few people that I see in the games journalism space, or maybe the only games journalist that I see every year at the IGDA Preservation SIG at GDC. You know, it's like his background and his interest is very much in preservation. If you look at the other site he runs, Lost Levels, it's very much about like finding these old games that have never been released and preserving them and presenting them. So he definitely is coming at it from maybe a more, you know, religious perspective.
Right. It would be like, I mean, this is sort of a dumb example, but it would be like if you had the Mona Lisa and they had her nose a little bit different. And it's like, okay, well, this is very close and I'm still definitely getting the idea. But if you need to throw away the old Mona Lisa, you can't do it now because this new one is just ever so slightly different. And if you're like an archivist, I could see why this sort of thing would frustrate you. You can't can't delete your old version now because the new version isn't the same.
Can't delete that old one.
Sure. I mean, as someone who has access to the old version, I still have the CD-ROM and I can play it anytime I want. And someone who is interested in playing this new version, you know, I don't think that immediately makes the new version less appealing because of the original.
People get frustrated when we talk about Monkey Island too much. They are going to love this one. We're debating the score of the special edition release of
this.
This
is Monkey Island 2, though. So.
This is Monkey Island 2, so it's very different.
Well, so how about this? Let's jump to the other game, or other DLC that I played, which was Liliana's Song in Dragon Age Origins. It's a DLC pack. It's standalone DLC. So it's sort of like the Darkspawn Chronicles. And unlike the other ones, you don't need to revert back to an earlier save in your game. It's just totally separate, which has some benefits and some minuses. It's $7, which is, you know, pretty affordable for most DLC. But my review, you know, the thing, you know, the kind of, I think, underlying problem in the very concept of DLC for Dragon Age is kind of difficult to accommodate when you're talking about a game that has an immense amount of replayability, an immense amount of content that a lot of people don't touch. I mean, the entire gimmick, if you will, of the first game was that you have different origin stories, which are, you know, a lot of times really polished. They're fully voiced. You can play your own character, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're all unique and give you a lot of background on the mythology of the world. And there's six of them, and most people only play one. So the idea of asking someone who's only played one origin story to go spend $7 on DLC when they have five other, you know, 2 to 3 hour experiences sitting on their disc that they've never touched is pretty tough. Inversely, the person who's played all six origin stories and has played the whole game and has really done everything, asking them to pay $7 for 2 hours when they just paid, you know, $50 or $60 for like 300 hours is also a pretty tough sell. You know, it's like, hey, you know, is it worth it for you? I mean, at that point, it seems too expensive. So, do you want to play more Dragon Age? You played a lot of it.
I think the problem with that whole I read and edited your review, so obviously I don't think you're like a crazy person. But the problem I have with it is that you're ignoring the third type of consumer, which is the consumer who doesn't feel obligated to hump the corpse of a game to squeeze every last bit of ragged fun out of it just because it's on the disc, and who's interested in the highest quality experience. And if you like the experience, like, I don't feel the need to go back and play Dragon Age again, but I would like to see new content from it.
Just like that character and you want a story involving that character specifically, yeah, which is not in any of the origin stories on the game. I mean, that's a story that's just literally not the game. So
my takeaway was that, you know, if And for me, it wasn't that I liked the character. I didn't have any background at all. I didn't use her in the game.
I never used her. Yeah.
So I was a rogue, so she kind of was meaningless for me. It was fun for me to be able to see that character and do things. From a completely quantitative standpoint, I was disappointed that the environments were almost entirely straight up recycled. You know, you play a quarter or a third of the thing in Denerim Market, like, again.
Ugh.
It's like, especially for a character that has a unique background, you know, she's Orlesian. You hear about that a lot. It would have been neat to see, like, one new space. Like, hey, here's a, you know, this is what Orlai looks like. And you'd be like, okay, that's neat. So that was disappointing. You know, and the new spaces they give you were, like, a dungeon. Like, looks like every other dungeon, sort of. The voice acting was good. The story was good. And it was nice to be able to get back in it. And it very much is a condensed experience. It's almost handheld in a way. Like, they're walking you through. You're leveling up faster. You're getting things kind of handed to you in order to do things. And you get a kind of very Cliff's Notes version of Dragon Age, where you're accelerating through it very quickly and getting to the conclusion. Which, somebody who hasn't played Dragon Age in a while, was nice. Somebody who also didn't have any interest in returning back to his old game. Like, I already played it. I finished it. I don't want to revert back to an earlier save. I accidentally somehow bought Return to Ostagar. I was just clicking around while I was on the phone, and I somehow heard. So now I own that, and
Chris is like that person who phoned you, like, hi, I think I've accidentally deleted Windows. Could you help me? I was just looking on my desktop, and I accidentally deleted everything.
No, like, I think I didn't realize I had money in my account. So I didn't realize, like, if I went into it and, like, hit any button right there, like, it would buy it. You know, I don't know what I was doing. I wasn't paying attention. But so now I have it, but I don't want to play it because I don't want to load up, like, an earlier save with my character and go back and
But that's the least appealing thing of DLC that's structured that way, because you've already leveled up your character to, what, level 24 or whatever by the time you get to the end of the game. And in a role-playing game, you don't want to regress. You don't want to go to a lower-level character just to see a bit of story. That's the worst.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if anything, I would do Dragon Age Awakenings, where I can import my character and kind of continue from there.
Yeah, and then the story continues. I mean, that's like a continuation of the overall story. Yeah.
And I heard it wasn't that long, so I might totally do that.
It's supposed to be about 15 hours.
That sounds totally reasonable for Dragon Age. I spent about 60 on the original, so I played about 2 hours of Liliana's Quest, and it was fun, but then it stopped again, and it was like, oh, it's over. That's it.
Did you play Overlord?
No,
Mass Effect. Wow, that was wonderful. Overlord's really good.
I'm kind of waiting for Mass Effect DLC for the same reason, right? I'm waiting for there to be a critical mass of Mass Effect DLC. So when I sit down to play it, I'm sitting down, you know, with a purpose. You know, I have these 2, 3, 4 DLC episodes to go through all at once. I'm looking forward to that. I think they'll definitely have a Game of the Year edition of that with a bunch of DLC on it too.
Yeah.
That's my guess for what there's this February 1st, 2011 tease in copies of Dragon Age Awakenings, that EA said, is something else. It wasn't supposed to be the release date for Dragon Age 2, which comes out or is windowed in the following month. So either A, it was the release date, which they weren't able to hit, so now they're like, oh, it's something else, special. Or B, it's I'm guessing maybe a Game of the Year edition. But you have to get the Game of the Year edition out before the end of the year.
But why would you advertise that to people who are buying the expansion? Because it's going to be content that they don't want. Well, maybe it's a 3DS game.
Whoa. Yes, I love it. Anything else? Did you turn on Deathspank?
I haven't even turned it on yet. I downloaded it last night. But I haven't played it yet. I was disappointed to learn that the co-op is only couch co-op.
It would need to be. The co-op is very... It's more akin to, like, Mario Galaxy.
Mario Galaxy.
Where it's very sort of passive for the second player. You wouldn't want to just sit there and do it. From what I've heard, I haven't actually tried it. But I played some Deathspank.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, it's fun. Do you like, it's sort of like a, I think at first I was a little disappointed that it was sort of as grindy as it is, it's very Diablo-esque in that you're just going from, you know, hacking your way through tons and tons of monsters. There are some adventure game elements, but I've played probably 2 hours last night and had and hit two actual, like, puzzles, which is probably better than in a lot of, you know, a lot of games of this sort in terms of, like, using your noodle. But it's very funny if a little one note. I mean, that's sort of the whole joke is this guy acting like, you know, talking about dispensing justice and very Tick-esque.
Valiant hero.
Yeah, exactly. Like if that, I mean, he's an idiot, which is kind of funny, but it does sort of just work on that one level. But I don't know, for $15, it seems pretty good. I'm going to keep playing it. That I played Limbo, which that's embargoed for a while. Probably what I've spent the most time on is, and this is another one that I know Ludwig played, is Singularity. I solved that tape, and you know I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would based on and I think this is sort of the conundrum with reviews, right? Is reading reviews before you play something, is that if you read a bad reviews or disappointing review, you're almost certainly going to be more inclined to like something just because your expectations have already been lowered pretty considerably. I mean, it's very workmanlike. They never do as much with the big idea as you want them to. I mean, the thing is that the time manipulation, it only works on items that have been imbued with this E99, which is code for it only works on the things that they want it to work on.
Otherwise, like, you are going to break that game in about 1 second.
Yeah, right, exactly. And it only so chalkboards have been imbued with E99.
It's kind of strange how it's also in the people, though.
Yeah, it's in their clothes or something. I don't know.
Well, in their fleshy bits. In their that makes sense.
They give them like boosts or whatever, but it's very sort of like there are enemies later on, tough enemies that the game tells me that they have special armor that makes them impervious to the TMD, and it's like, well, I know the TMD only works on things with E99 in them, so I guess the special armor just doesn't have that. Like, we just don't put
it's
that in.
It's just regular.
It's just regular armor. It's not it's not special. It's just you just bought it. But it strings together. But the problem with the TMD thing, besides not only working with a couple items, some of the items that they want it to work with, it also only has two settings. It's like old and young, basically. Which, at this point, it's basically like a switch. Like, it's basically just the equivalent of hitting a switch in Zelda or whatever. It's just binary. You know, either the stairs are there or they're not there. It's which is fine, but it just feels like they didn't go far enough with it. But it does. It has some really cool weapons. The one mechanic that works really well, and I think Ludwig touched on it, is the sphere where time slows down. And
it's called the deadlock.
Deadlock, yeah. You can watch your bullets fly through the deadlock. That's how slow they're going. And if enemies go into it, then they move very slowly. So you can like catch 10 enemies in a deadlock, walk from enemy to enemy, and shoot a few bullets near their head, make the deadlock go away, and then they all die at the same time. It's pretty.
The only thing that I did throughout the whole game. It's my favorite thing.
It's
in that
pretty
game.
Magical. But they have some cool weapons that you kind of steer them. You can steer the shot after you fire it because of the E99 properties or whatever. But I thought it was very pleasant. It didn't. It wasn't frustrating. It wasn't annoying. A little too much grabby. Like, it's sort of the same problem that BioShock 2 had, where there are items littered everywhere, and you.
I feel like most of my time in BioShock 2, literally like a majority of my gameplay was spent picking up items.
Yeah, this has a similar problem where you're just constantly like, oh, another thing for me to pick up? Are you sure? I have to pick up some more science goo or anything or whatever.
You know what I found really strange? Like, you pick up E99 technology, you pick up these fancy looking electronic gadgets that you use these points to upgrade your suit and stuff like that. Why are people throwing their E99 ticks in the dumpster? How does that happen? This looks like it's pretty expensive, difficult to develop. In fact, it's the entire reason for the island existing in the first place. But people are just throwing it everywhere. They're like,
yeah.
I'm just gonna put this.
Hey, I've got a big lump of E99. What should I do with that? Just the dumpster? Maybe just leave it in your locker. And we'll come back and get it next weekend.
But so you agree with my review, it sounds like, mostly.
I probably...
Were you disappointed by the fact that...
I would have gone a little bit higher, but I think that... not much higher, but I think that you... I think that I agree with all your basic points. I think I just had more I had more fun with the weapons and didn't let myself get as frustrated by the way the time powers were used, because they're very sort of like, if you have this concept,
gimmicky.
It's the most it feels like this sort of game that in the design doc had 8 or 9 different really cool implementations of the TMD, and maybe like 1 or 2 really cool implementations made them in. But once you do some, the problem that game also has is the first time that I scrunched a box up using reverse time and jammed it under a door and then
Right, you think that's cool. I think that's cool. Puzzle.
Yeah.
This is them being creative with this concept, but then they don't take it any further because that is the puzzle.
Yeah, that is like, it's the equivalent of here's a key to open the door.
Yeah, very disappointing. Also, the graphics could have been a little better, I think.
Yeah.
I feel like the game was made and finished like 2 years ago, so.
Oh, what did you think about Nolan North's
that seemed self-aware, which I liked. Like, I feel like he knew that they had – I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but yeah, it's a good use of – it's the kind of use of Nolan North I can get behind, which is weird that there's somebody that is enough of a personality that you can be like, oh, they did something to Nolan North, but anyway,
yeah.
So that's what I've been playing.
Did you get all the endings, by the way?
Yeah, that was actually something I talked about on Twitter that is kind of annoying.
I saw.
At the end of the game, they have an ending that can go
3 different ways.
Basically, and I played it the first way, and I got an achievement for it. But my save was like right before that moment. So if you give a crap about achievements at all, it's sort of silly not to go back and just get all the endings, which seems weird to me because, like, I don't know if they're trying to – it seems like a failing on their part because they're incentivizing sort of the dilution of whatever impact their ending would have had, because you see all the endings and it's not like this is going to carry over, let's be honest. And so it's kind of weird. I didn't care for that.
Also getting more Chivos, though.
Gotta get those Chivos. Get them, those Chivos. But that's me. That's what I've been playing. It's been a good week for games.
Sounds like you've been busy.
I have been busy. I've had a lot of, like, living in one room. I don't know anybody here. What else am I going to do?
You should go out and see the town. It's a nice city. There's some good restaurants.
Yeah, but I'm like, I don't know. Scary. There's traffic.
Justin, I'm going to come take the metro. I'm going to come down there, and I'm going to drag you downtown, and we will go have dinner.
I will show you around my place. This is my couch. It's my office.
You're ridiculous.
You can literally just spin him around and you've seen the whole thing.
But that's me. What about you, Ludwig?
Unsurprisingly, I have been playing Split Second because it's great, and I'm almost done with it. I feel like if I get first place in all the events, I'll finally be able to move on with my life and play something else. Because whenever I put another game in, I'm like, oh, but there's still that one race I haven't come first place yet in Split Second. I need to do that. So that's what I've been playing. Talked about that plenty. What else have I been playing? I have been playing Monkey Island. We talked about that. And, yeah.
Wow. Cool.
Yep, pretty exciting, huh?
Pretty fun stuff.
You haven't gone back
to... Can I talk about
to...
World Prince?
You haven't gone back to Red Dead Redemption?
No, I haven't gotten a chance to play that again. Well, actually, there was something that I wanted to talk to you about, Justin.
Yeah.
With regards to Red Dead Redemption. Did you, I mean, were you bothered by the morality system in that game? Did you think it was stupid?
I don't know. I don't know if I was bothered by it. It didn't seem to, I don't know. The systems to me, I don't know, didn't feel like they were making a huge impact. Maybe they were, but I didn't feel like very connected to them for whatever reason.
Yeah, I was particularly bothered by that, that one side quest where there's the lady in the desert and she's praying and she's actually killing herself by being outside like that. And you know, being so ridiculously devoted to praying. And the quest is you have to go into town, buy medicine and give it to her. That's the quest. If you do that, you succeed. And you're a good person. But if you pull out your lasso and you hog tie her and you take her into the town and put her in the doctor's office, because she doesn't know what's the best for her, like you're trying to save her life here, then you're a criminal and you go to jail.
Well, it does kind of.
So you see, like, the game is like using the law to judge your actions, whether they're good or evil, which is really strange considering it's a pretty lawless environment.
It does kind of.
You know what I mean? It's like it's right. Too binary.
They're forcing it on you.
I mean, why? And like, when they were designing that quest, why is that not an option? Like, why is that not. Did nobody consider that? Like, that seems like a pretty reasonable action to take if you're this lone ranger type, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I also got a giant wall prince. I could talk about that.
Nah, I'm okay.
Is that the one you got you from?
Yeah, I got the Jet Set Radio Future, the gigantic, larger than life prince that you stick on your wall. They're really awesome. I highly recommend them.
Yeah, and they're kind of neat because they're not
made of like a fab. Yeah, they're like giant stickers, basically.
Except it's not sticky. You know, it's not like adhesive-y, like it'll come off your wall. You know, it won't leave like an oily, you know, a lot of times with a lot of the stick-ons, there's like an oily residue from the adhesive. So even if it does come off your wall, it leaves this thing. But these kind of are like, they're not static, but it's like a very light adhesive, and they have this kind of neat texture. It doesn't look like a vinyl sticker on your wall.
Yeah, so like you can buy the cutouts, like, and I recommend buying a set. Because it's a better value for money. But then if you have a plain white wall and you put these characters up, like you can get like Commander Video from the BitTrip series or the Jet Set Radio characters. There's some really cool Star Trek ones. It looks like someone's drawn it onto your wall.
Yeah.
You guys know people like listen to this show, right? Like they're sitting there listening to this.
This is video game related. They might want
you guys understand to, you that.
Know, decorate their rooms with video games.
They could be listening to anything. There's so many big podcasts I could be listening to. Listen to this.
You're just jealous because you can't contribute to this conversation.
I can't, but I think...
Because you don't even have your own room.
So, Chris...
yes.
What's new?
Joysticks, news on the march. The news of tomorrow. Today.
All right, Dustin, thanks for asking. Here's what's new in the world of video games this week. What do we got? New Oddworld games...
Hello.
That's crazy.
That seems impossible.
They don't make games anymore.
Who's just had water? Who's that?
The developer
dropping these games on us.
the developers of Gravity Crash. If you know Gravity Crash, it is a PSP game.
No, I think it's a PSN game. Actually.
PSN game, right? On PSP? Is it on PS3 also?
So you're both right, right?
But it's I don't know. It's not like the first developer I would think would be working on, you know, Oddworld games. Lauren Lanning's involved in the project, and that's about it. I mean, we're gonna get new Oddworld games, which the last one we got, I think, was Stranger's Wrath. Is that right?
Right.
Yes.
Which was
I think the PlayStation 1 games are out on PlayStation 1 Classics on PSN now.
God, the first one was so good.
I would expect them to maybe do some iPhone ports or something of some of the original games. Or iPad ports.
How about some XBLA ports? PSN ports?
That's like, it. Anything. I mean, but is this going to fit into the... I mean, is the Quintology officially over? This is going to be a new series, or...?
Yeah, I think we have to let that go.
But I don't want to.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
Quintology. I want to call something a Quintology.
Hmm.
I mean, it's very ballsy, but it. I mean, of them to announce that, but that ain't happening.
I'm sad that they never got around to the movie because, like, the CG sequences were always so amazing in those games.
And that's what they were working on last. They were working on a movie. They had shut down the studio, the development studio already. But so I don't really know what happened to that. You know what we should do? We should see if we can't get a hold of Lauren Lanning.
Yeah, wasn't there another property he was working on that was like a cross media thingamajig?
I think that's what the movie was.
No, this wasn't Oddworld related. It was a different universe. Something about, I don't know. We'll look it up. This is boring.
I still curse Oddworld for making me unable to spell the word Odyssey correctly. Like, I cannot spell it. I always spell it Odds, etc. Like,
right.
I always get the Odd in there.
That's right. Right.
They ruined it for me.
Yeah, no, that is right.
Right. I decided. I thought about it for a while.
So what else we got that's news? NPDs came out. I know everyone here is probably thinking that we just went over NPDs for May, like 2 weeks ago.
It feels that okay. So this
that's
is not
true.
It's not being crazy, right?
No, they were delayed because of E3.
Okay.
So
thank goodness
these are on time. It was delayed before, so you know, we end up having numbers that are back to back. But the numbers this month. They're sort of the inverse of last month. Last month, sales were down 5% industry-wide. This month, they're down 6% industry-wide, year over year. Last month, software was up and hardware was down. And this month, hardware is up and software is down. Hardware is way up month over month. But year over year, it's only up a couple percent, 5%. So the big picture is the 360 is up with the highest percentage, no surprise, with the Slim announcement. 453,000 consoles, that's up 132%. PS3 was up 100%, 97, with 300,000 consoles.
That's month to month, right?
This is month to month, yes.
Okay.
And Wii was up the least with only a 26% increase. At 423,000, which puts it just below the 360. For software sales, Red Dead is still tops on Xbox 360, down from a million units to just under 600,000 on that console. And then the number two spot, which was Red Dead on PS3, has been replaced with Super Mario Galaxy 2, which barely moved the needle at all. It pretty much stayed flat month to month, which is really impressive. Red Dead Redemption on PS3 dropped from 500,000 to 380,000. Combining for another roughly 1 million in sales for Red Dead, that puts it for year-to-date sales so far as the top-selling game of the year, which is pretty impressive.
Prediction. Will the DS go down at all next month after the announcement of the 3DS or no?
I mean, some of it should have gone down already. With the
right? Shouldn't it have?
I mean, it was announced, you know.
These people aren't watching the news, I assume.
Yeah, they're just not on top of things.
Not on top of their game. Conspicuously absent from this list is Alan Wake.
Yes, not there. There's some other new releases that were also completely missing from the list. We have Just Dance back, but there was a new dance game that didn't even make the top 10.
Yeah.
Just Dance is a monster. Also new on the list, Toy Story 3 for DS. Didn't expect to see that. Lego Harry Potter Years 1 to 4 on Wii. Also didn't expect to see that. But there's a huge drop-off, and NPD analyst Anita Fraser noted this. There's a huge drop-off between the top couple games on this list and everything else. And, you know, there's definitely a sense, you know, software sales were down a little bit, but the top 10 is actually looks better than it did last year. It's just that everything else looks so bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, a ton of the sales are up at the top of the list. I think I've got FedEx here, so I'm going to go. No, yeah. I don't. It's just somebody else. So that's NPD for the month.
How did it do it? How did Red Dead, like, it's obviously a quality product, but how did that make it into the mainstream like it has? Like, what's the secret there?
I'm surprised. You know,
what's the takeaway?
Like, Westerns?
Is the market hungry for that? I mean, I guess it must
evidently
be.
Yeah.
Heavily marketed, and I think the Rockstar name is just I'm pretty sure everyone that bought GTA was going to be buying this game.
Yeah, but that logic hasn't carried them on other projects. I mean, there are other projects like Bully, for example, where that logic didn't carry them through. So I'm wondering.
But I mean, didn't that come out before GTA 4? I think GTA 4 was like their biggest boost.
Hmm. Yeah, you're probably right.
Just in terms of getting their name out there and mm-hmm. the recognition. But I have heard that the marketing has been huge. Like, and I think it's still ongoing. Like, the marketing is still going.
The marketing was really huge. I mean, every bus in Philadelphia, you know, like billboards everywhere. I was in L.A. The week it came out, and you couldn't walk 5 inches without seeing the side of a building covered in Red Dead Redemption. I mean, it was probably the biggest marketing push outside of Grand Theft Auto 4 that I've ever seen for a game.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't quite understand. Like, when a movie comes out, the opening week for a big movie, you know, that's how that works, right? You see ads everywhere for that movie. You see ads on TV. You see ads on buses, on billboards, in the subway.
Right.
But when games, I mean, it's really rare. And I remember when you see big game pushes because they're so few and far between. I mean, Red Dead certainly, I mean, how many ads did you see for Alan Wake? Even on video game sites, how many ads did you see for Alan Wake?
We had an email from somebody, I'm going to find their name, but they had a great point. They said that when you compare them sort of objectively, like why Alan Wake would sell and Red Dead wouldn't, the box art for Alan Wake is a dude, like mainly black with the words Alan Wake on it and a guy with a flashlight, or the silhouette of a guy with a flashlight. And you look at Red Dead, and it's like a stylized cowboy pointing a shotgun at you. He thinks it's Jim Thompson. He said that he thinks that it's the box art that set it apart, which it is better box art. Is it that easy? Is that all you have to do?
I like Alan Wake's box art more. Although, are we talking about effectiveness or like?
Well, we're talking about. If you got $60 in your pocket and you're going to buy a game, if you go to the store not knowing what Alan Wake is, you're not going to know any more about what Alan Wake is.
You know what? I think it might be the title. Maybe it's the title. Like if you are completely unfamiliar with both of these games, right? And you go, you see the titles Alan Wake. You're like, what? Who's Alan Wake? Is this a game series that I don't know about? Like, I don't know who Alan Wake is, so maybe I shouldn't get into this game.
Yeah. Maybe Brightfall is a better game.
It feels like it implies that there's more than one game, or
you
should know who Alan Wake is already.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. It is kind of a nondescript thing.
I feel it's maybe it's too specific. You know, it's like.
But it's just the top of the box, you know, a psychological horror action game. Like, it describes the game on the box, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
What if it just was like, what would be a better name to help it make it the main market? Maybe like
Monster Guy.
What about Scary Forest? I would have been on board with Scary Forest.
Death Flashlight.
How about Alan Wake in the Battle of the Shadow Monsters?
What about Shadow of the Colossus?
Alan Wake, because Shadow of the Colossus was a big seller. How about Alan Wake and the Journey Through the Scary Forest? That would work.
Alan Wake colon Rockstar.
Alan Wake colon Redemption. That's a good one.
I'm going to go with Death Flashlight. I think that would have been really successful.
I'd pick it up. I'd check it out. I read a box. You know what? I'm not going to be checking out anymore. You and nobody else is the 1 versus 100. Because that's done. So.
Well, those odds were never in your favor.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Yeah. It seems like a lot of game journalists liked
are mad about this.
It seems like a lot of game journalists loved 1 versus 100. But you know what, Chris? It seems like they must have been in the minority. Because it's done. Microsoft pulled the plug on it. They said there would not be a season 3. What's the comment? We're very proud of the 1 versus 100 team and their accomplishments and are excited to apply what we've learned to future programming.
They've already said that they're going to use some of the technology in the ESPN app. you know, in terms of like how you're voting on things and how like different people can like vote on a game or, you know.
Wait.
And there's live events.
We definitely heard that. I don't know. So yeah, it seems kind of sad because it does seem to be, it was very, I mean, it was a unique sort of experience. A lot of people seem to enjoy it. I know that and I think probably a lot of people fell into this camp where I played it, I checked it out, but I didn't keep going back to see what was going on.
A lot of people on the joystick staff definitely, you know, spent a lot of time in that game, mm-hmm. and went back, you know, quite regularly.
Yeah, so it's unfortunate. I think it's a good example of Microsoft having a good product or a good idea and not knowing what to do with it, or it being a big enough company that, you know, you see these independent guys and they fight tooth and nail for their game and they won't give up on it and they've been plugging away at it, trying to get publicity. But Microsoft has something that by all external signs is fairly successful, but it's a big enough company that it just doesn't warrant enough attention. Like it withers sort of without the sunshine of their attention.
Well, I mean, they're probably looking at it in terms of like what percentage of people who are subscribed to Xbox Live played this game.
Yeah, and if you look,
I think maybe that gave it a poor impression.
Someone told me on Xbox Live, someone told me on Twitter yesterday, they said, well, I wouldn't say it wasn't successful. They had, at a peak, they had 114,000 players at the same time.
Right, it's but like, I mean, well, okay, out of like subscribers.
Yeah, exactly. That's why. That's why I said back to him, like, compared to 12.5 million, that's a drop in the bucket for something that you have to pay to that doesn't seem to scale very well. It seems like the more popular that got, the more problems there were with it.
Right, it was more like a service than a game, really. I mean, they had to constantly provide content for it, and you know,
I mean, the software was done, right? I mean,
yeah,
they had to have a host, they had to have content, they had to have questions.
Yeah, team of writers they had to pay for. They had to pay for marketing the schedules. They had to pay for, you know, it also, they should have had I felt like when I wanted to play it, it was never going. They had really weird times, like Sunday at 9 and things like that, where, I don't know, maybe that's sort of.
It was strange because it was Pacific Coast time.
Right.
So I felt like every time I wanted to. Right.
Already, because the majority of the population lives in the East Coast, I don't know.
Right, and you can always delay it or have people play it earlier. It's a little easier than playing it later.
That's what I thought, but I don't know.
But yeah, so I always felt like I was.
Yeah, it was like 10 o'clock. It was 10 o'clock over here usually.
I was turning it on at 10 o'clock at night, yeah.
So if you're trying to get like the family together to play it, that's when most kids are going to bed by that point.
Or you should be doing two shows, 7 and 10.
Yeah, right. Maybe that one, maybe the 10 o'clock is a little more, you know. Grown up.
A little rowdy. Yeah.
Wanky wanky, you know.
So that is the news for.
No, it's not.
No, no.
That's not the news.
That's not the news. We were about to forget about it, Ludwig. You're right.
So Activision announced a new James Bond game called Tomorrow I Will Die.
No.
Yesterday belongs to the world. It's actually just Bloodstone. That's it. That's the title is Bloodstone. We've heard about this game
before. Joss Stone. Get it?
What?
No, that's not why. They're like, sure, we need someone with Stone in their title. It's either Oliver Stone as Bond Girl or Joss Stone. Which one are we going to go with?
Oh my God, it really is? That's not a joke?
Yeah, that's real.
Oh, you guys are freaking killing me. What?
Joss Stone is the Bond Girl in Bloodstone. So they're treating it this like a movie. She's making, she's contributing the song for the game called it's called I'll Take It All, and it's being done with the aid of Dave Stewart from the Eurythmics, which is kind of cool.
That
is. This is the one that's developed by Bizarre Creations. This is after they've done Blur, they're doing this. It's got a mix of third-person cover-based shooting. It's got hand-to-hand combat and driving sequences. Probably not all at once, though.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome. How about a multiplayer Bond game where one player is doing the fighting sequence, the other player is driving the car that you're doing the fight on top of?
Yes,
that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's funny about the Bloodstone is that this is a very similar to the approach that they did as far as like Jawstone. This is what they did in Everything or Nothing, right? Like Maya was in the game, but she also did the title song.
Right,
which is very
for Bloodstone. It's being written by Bruce Feirstein, who did the screenplay for GoldenEye, and he wrote Everything or Nothing.
Oh, really?
So Everything would be very similar to that game. And people like Everything or Nothing, right? Like
Everything or Nothing is the best of the Brosnan games, and it's actually probably the best Bond game overall. I don't think there's been a better one. Count GoldenEye, and the song is really good.
Yeah, so this is actually a pretty good choice for developer, I think, because Bizarre has experience with third-person shooters. They did The Club, mm-hmm. which I think most people liked, even if they didn't like the structure of it, you know, because it didn't really
or the aesthetic
campaign. Right. And now you have Daniel Craig for you to take care of your aesthetic, so that's much better already.
So the weird thing about that is that there was an East Enders
The East Enders character, guy. Yeah.
Yeah, who said, you know, oh, I just finished recording the dialogue for Bond in a new game that's like not tied to a movie. So this was obviously the game he was talking about, and it's obvious that they weren't able to.
Well,
get
they might
Daniel
be
Craig.
Doing another game in addition to this one. I mean, there could be a different Bond game, or
my guess
what I think
is,
was happening.
Right, you're gonna say it, so you shouldn't say it.
I'm gonna say it, like Daniel Craig. He was gonna do another movie, but since the movie got canned. Mm-hmm. Now he's free to do the voice for this game. So they basically, that other guy, his voice, they just kind of dragged all that, all those audio files and put them in the recycle bin. Like, sorry, guy, we got the real deal now.
Thanks for all that hard work. The check is still good. Feel free to cash it.
Let's not throw a pity party for dude. He's still got a fat check.
He got paid.
Standing in a room and being like,
say stuff like Bond, James Bond.
I need a martini. Shake it up, please.
Judy,
make it really, really shaken.
Judy Dench is in it. She's playing M again. This is shaping up to be a good production, I think. But yeah, like I said, Bizarre is a good choice. They also have the driving experience. Personally, if I was going to do this, I would say just steal a little bit of Gears of War, steal a little Split Second, and maybe you have a good James Bond game going.
Well, in terms of the
still going,
in terms of the combat in Quantum of Solace wasn't terrible. You know, the kind of third-person cover-based FPS style.
No, I read that quote of yours on the back of the box. The combat isn't terrible.
No, they had some good ideas there. Like, I liked how in that game you could, if you ran up on a dude, you could always beat him. If you were like on a guy, it was easy to win the fight.
Yeah, and it seems frustrating that we don't get good Bond games frequently enough. In the same way that we don't get good Spider-Man games often enough. It's like, come on, guys. Like, this game should just make itself. You've got a guy who drives an awesome sports car. He's shooting out the window. Then he drives over a ramp. The car flips. He dives up. He falls onto a speedboat, which then explodes. And then he has a parachute. And then he's fighting a guy who's got middle teeth.
But you have to
honestly,
always...
it's not an awesome game.
Yeah, you have to always remember, though, that we live in the world that does not have a transporter video game. And in that world, there are no laws about what makes a good video game and what doesn't. In this reality...
You know what this really comes down to, Justin? Why is there no Ninja Blade 2?
That's how I know I'm not in Earth Prime. This is not Earth Prime, because in Earth Prime... there's a sweet transporter game that comes out every year. So I know we're in an alternate dimension. This is not Earth 616. This is a different reality.
Do you know what I want? I've never seen a Jason Statham movie. And what I really want is
I
for them...
I flipped my computer just now. I just flipped my computer. It's a play.
I want them to be on Netflix streaming. As soon as they add them, I'm going to get some beers and watch a whole bunch of Jason Statham movies one day.
Can I tell you, I don't think... I don't think that there are many better films than Transporter 2 as far as having fun watching an action movie. You are not bored for a second. God, I love Transporter 2. Transporter 3 is eh. Transporter 1 is good but takes itself too seriously. Transporter 2, there's hot shit every second. It's amazing.
I'm checking Netflix right now to see if I...
It's a movie that is also a bomb. Because it blows up with fun. Right.
So hopefully this will be more like Transporter 2 than Transporter 3, I guess, this game.
Yes, that's the logic we're going for?
Well, here it's...
I like that. Daniel Craig is the best Bond at the moment. I like him. I think he's great. And this game also supposedly has 16-player multiplayer, by the way, if that's something
that's
you're
cool.
interested in. It might have co-op. I mean, I think if you one player is Daniel Craig and the other players can take cover behind his ears.
I just got the trailer for the thing. I'm downloading it now.
For what? You'll,
for Transporter 2, the video game.
Shut up, liar.
Yeah, I got it right now. I'm downloading it.
You're hurting my feelings with this. I want to hear the we get a lot of emails every week from people tipping us to the latest news. And once a week we get a tip that is just so helpful that we like to highlight it and really thank the author, and we call that segment the tip of the week.
Tip of the week to you.
Hi, my name is Melanie. I'm from Barbados. My daughter and I visited this site and would like for someone to contact us in regarding to the price for the pink PSP. My EA email address is, well, something. Thank you. Looking forward to hearing from you. Are you? Continue to look forward to that, Melanie, because it's not happening. So sorry.
So she managed to find our website and the incredibly small tips button to send us an email, but she can't find a price for a pink PSP. Someone has to get back to her on that.
And what made her think that the word tip was a good spot to, talk to somebody about ordering something? Yeah, it doesn't really make a lot of sense.
No.
It's kind of magical.
Yeah. Now they really get it.
Yeah.
If you guys didn't get it before, because it's really laid it out for you.
Isn't there some Amazon.Barbados action or something?
They don't have Barbados in Amazon. Is the Amazon in Barbados?
I don't know.
I'm not good with geography. I'm not so sure.
I see what you're saying.
See what I did there?
Yeah, can we just go ahead and do the next segment?
Do it line.
Do it line! Do it line! F***ing thing sucks! Do it live! I don't know what that means. Do it live!
All right. This is our Do It Line. This is a voicemail line that you can call and leave a voicemail, 1-877-JOY-STIQ. We'll go through and pick the very best of those voicemails and then play them back for you here live on a recording on our show. This first one comes to us from the lovely state of Georgia.
Oh my goodness, I'm on it with the greatest video game podcast ever. Oh my god. Okay. This is Graham Hines from Atlanta, and I was just wondering, I just finished playing Mass Effect 2, and I was wondering if you guys want all games to be that good, or if it's okay for some crappy games to be good so that y'all still have a job. Anyway, I'll take my answer off air. Bye guys.
Take it off air. He's already on air. Just call us. Silly geese. Or goose.
I don't know. I mean, what would having only good games, how would that hurt our job?
It would hurt my job. Because who needs a review? It's a good game. Of course it's a good game. It's a game. It's a game that's out. Of course it's good.
Inversely, though, if all games were really good and we didn't need reviews and everyone played them all the time, there would be other work to do because games would be so great that we'd have so many more game players and so many more people interested in the gaming space.
But I'd be on the street.
No, you'd do something else.
I like my job. Why are you firing me here on the podcast in public?
Because I'm not firing you. I'm saying that we need a professional back rubber. And I think you've got what it takes.
I have a way with a coffee stirrer.
That's right. I think you know how to put a man's burrito in the microwave, if you know what I'm saying.
I do. Sadly, I do. And you mean literally put a burrito in the microwave for you?
I mean, take that burrito out of the refrigerator and put it right in the microwave for me. Right.
Yeah, no problem. I'll get right on that, Chief.
I don't know. I forget what the real question was now. I think we already answered.
Yeah, it's an alternate reality question.
Yeah. If there was an alternate universe. Why don't we just move on to the next voicemail, which I have right here.
Hey, Joystick Podcast. Ben from Tucson here. I just had a quick question. On your last show, you said that about 70% of your decision to move to a rating system with your reviews was for the readers. why 70 and not, say, 75, 76? Does that mean that you're giving us a C minus? What did you dock points for? Is it because we're not good looking enough? Please state your answer while expressing as few personal opinions as possible. Thanks.
You know what the main reason was for me? Fun factor.
Fun factor. The reviewer's tilt was the problem in my case, is why I made it 70%.
Yeah.
Oh, fun factor. You're the best. You're the best. That's stupid, John Davison. He doesn't know what he's doing over there. Get rid of fun factor.
Yeah, what a noob.
Come on, GamePro. Get with the early 90s.
All I want to know is how many wacky faces out of 5 a game is.
God, I pushed so hard for our scale to be wacky faces. Forget stars. I just want screaming faces.
I mean, when GamePro drops it, like, that's public domain, right? Like, we should be able to use those.
I think anybody can use them now. They've already given up on them. So, you know.
That's it, like, seems when you leave trash, to let those go to waste.
It's like when you leave trash by the side of the road. That's not yours anymore. That's just trash now.
And if right, I come like take, anyone can pick up and do with it whatever they want.
Right, if I go and take it, like, that's mine now. You know. That's the law of the streets. And I don't know about your fancy lawyer talk, but...
That's the streets.
That's the way things work here. If I put my recycling out and the guy comes along and collects the cans, I mean, those are his cans now.
Whoa.
You know, it's just the way it works. All right, so next voicemail.
Rob, this is Marco Lipolo. I was calling because this is going to be the first podcast that I've heard from you guys, and I have to agree that Alan Black has eclipsed his work. I don't know. I hope this is pocket enough. Bye.
Wait. What? Let's replay this and let's go sentence by sentence.
I want to go CSI on this joint.
And let's just figure out what's going on here. So we're going to start from the beginning. Ready?
Okay.
Rob.
No.
We're not Rob.
Not a good start. None of us are Robs.
So, you know, there's not even a Rob at Joystick, and we pretty much have every other name you can find.
Yeah.
So you're wrong.
We
already
fired the last Rob we had.
Next one.
Lipolo.
This is Marco Lipolo. So he's French. We might be on to a good start. Might be going in the right direction. Although
he's very confused in swimming pool games.
Yes. You're supposed to call Marco if you're Polo.
Marco, what?
All right, so here we go.
I was calling because this is going to be the first podcast that I've heard from you guys.
He's calling because this is going to be the first podcast that he's heard from us. Wait, what?
And I have to agree that Alan Black has eclipsed his work.
Who is that?
Alan Black has eclipsed his work. Alan sounds like a lady's name to me.
I thought he said Alan. I think it's Google. I think it's Google transcription that's coloring your perception.
Alan Black.
Alan Black. Work.
Okay. So hold on. He's definitely calling the right podcast then, because
right.
Since Alan Black is,
I don't know. I hope this is popping enough.
I hope this is popping enough. It most certainly is, sir.
I think he said, I hope it's pocket enough.
Hope it's pocket enough?
No, that's what Google transcription says also. I think he says poppin'. I think he means poppin' enough.
I don't know.
Haven't you guys heard the slang like the kids are using? If something's pocket enough, it means you want to take it and put it in your pocket. It's really cool.
That's really pocket.
That's so pocket.
So pocket, ohe.
That is one hot pocket.
Did I tell you guys about the ohe thing?
Yeah.
It's weird, right? So, yes, there you go. Man, I feel dumb. If you want to call us back,
sir, but just make it crazier than
Marco
that. Smiley request.
Just try not to get so high next time.
Just so very high.
And let us know what you were talking about. I mean, I'm honestly curious what on earth you were trying to.
I want him to be higher. And
okay, or you can get higher.
We're higher to that point where you go around the bend and you're like, okay, I could function like this. Speaking of people who were probably high when they were doing something, we also receive emails that Ludwig reads on the show that we have called a podcast.
Yeah, and we do that whole segment we call Your Emails with Ludwig Kitson.
And now, it's time for listener email with Ludwig Kietzmann on the joystick.
Podcast. Yeehaw!
So?
So, emails. Okay, this one is from Courtney from Lawrence, Kansas. She writes, just curious if any of you have read Tom Bissell's Extra Lives, Why Video Games Matter. Just heard an interview with the author on NPR and sounded like an interesting and rarely literary analysis of modern video game playing.
For starters, I think Courtney from Lawrence, Kansas is a man.
A gentleman.
Gentleman. I think it's one of those names like Ashley.
I'm pretty sure it's Courtney Love, actually.
Whoa.
Right. I said, I think Courtney is
a man.
What I just said.
She's a man, baby.
So, Tom Bissell's Extra Lives. Yeah, it's supposed to be very good. I've read some articles by him. I read an excerpt from the book, and I ordered the book a couple weeks ago, and it's sitting right next to me on my desk. I have not read it yet, though. And I will be sure to report back once I do. But by all accounts, it's a great work, and it's certainly unlike a lot of the other books on the topic, elsewhere.
Cool.
Yeah. Rob, this is who he was sending the voicemail to. Must have been, Rob sent us an email.
Rob writes, recently Gamefly sent me Africa, and the photographer in me loves it. Admittedly, the gamer in me does not. You progressively unlock newer cameras with more features, and the help text teaches you how to take advantage of aperture settings, shutter speed, white balance, etc. All of these tips relate directly to photography in the real world. It also helps you with framing shots, angles, and lots of practice. So despite its poor reviews, if you're an aspiring photographer and want a game that tickles that particular fancy, you should definitely check it out.
That almost makes me want to buy Africa.
We had talked about that last week where I was trying to learn... we wanted more games that would actually teach you real-world skills.
This doesn't sound very realistic to me, because if you walk around Africa taking pictures, someone will mug you and steal your camera.
Oh, man.
But what if you're in the savannah? Will you get mugged by a lion or a giraffe?
I'm just kidding. You wouldn't be able to take pictures because you would have a vuvuzela, because it's World Cup.
World Cup!
That was a positive joke.
Hey!
Take that, change your perception.
I usually enjoy photography in games, though. It was pretty cool in Bioshock.
Fatal Frame.
It was really good in Beyond Good and Evil.
Fatal Frame.
Yes, Fatal Frame.
Was a good photography. Funny to acknowledge it.
Ghosts.
Right there, yeah. I also really liked it in Ansel Adams Enters the Scary Forest. Which I thought was a really good series.
I like
it. It wasn't Dead Rising. Fantastic.
I thought Thomas Kincaid Painter of Fight was a really good usage of it.
It's pretty good.
Thanks. I do what I can.
Pokemon Snap.
Yep.
That's awesome. Okay, so God, I want to see a Thomas Kincaid Painter of Fight game, and it would just be Thomas Kincaid battling art critics. Over watercolored.
This sounded like a visceral pitch to me.
Over watercolored backgrounds with glowing cottage windows.
Just dropping his mall stores on their heads.
Oh, got it.
I can't hear you underneath my wealth. You're under my wealth now.
His projectile attack would be an artist palette that he would throw and it would return to him.
I love it.
This is so good.
Yeah, this is really good.
Every time you win a fight, you just get more money and you open up more mall stores. Also has like an RTS element. Oh, I love that game.
I love this game.
Next,
it's my favorite game. It is definitely real. Ludwig. Right,
John from Michigan's Upper Peninsula. That's an oddly specific origin.
Everyone that knows that Michigan has the UP, they call it.
Yeah.
It's an area. Everyone from America, I guess.
Yeah, really. It's not actually an area.
If you're from America, I don't actually know anything about geography. This email is mainly for Chris. Last week, you were looking for a JRPG that you can pick up and play for 15 minutes at a time. let me suggest Chaos Rings by Square Enix. It's a pretty simple dungeon crawler that you can start and stop playing at any time, since it saves every time you hit the home button. It's kind of pricey for an iPhone game at $14 or $15, but it's cheaper than a new DS game.
I'm definitely going to look into it. Somebody else sent me a couple ones on Twitter that I'm interested in checking out. It seems like, you know, like some of these should be really good. I have heard some bad things about some of Square Enix's iPhone games, though. But we'll check that one out. If anyone else has any other good iPhone game recommendations, I'm curious. I want to check out Justin, have you seen Helsing's Fire? It was made by some former Naughty Dog guys.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. You should check it out.
I'm still on that Nimble Strong tip.
Oh, yeah? You're still going on that, huh?
Yeah, I'm trying to unlock all the recipes.
Yeah, I have to pick that up. I haven't picked that up yet.
It's good stuff.
I said I was going to.
Yeah, you're
alive. Someone else should read this email because it's addressed to me.
Ludwig, how was your World Cup experience living near the site of this recent World Cup? That's from Lou.
Well, I mean, when it started, I was just surrounded by noisy, overweight, obnoxious people constantly bumping into me and making a bunch of racket. But that's only because I left for E3 during the first 2 weeks of the World Cup. It was fun. I mean, I saw bunch of tourists and
was it really
there was
fun?
A great vibe. Like, there was a great vibe. Yeah, there was a really good there was some unification going on here.
It is rare that Luddy gets nationalistic at all, so everyone should just bask in this for a moment.
I see, for me, I think that would be, if something like that was happening in my home area, I would be kind of annoyed. I think maybe not, maybe that would
you
be a
one
good...
in your backyard. I mean, it was actually in my backyard.
Yeah.
Like, that is the World Cup. That's where they play the soccer. It's in my backyard.
Where's the soccer today? I said, Ludwig's backyard, of course. You must be new.
Yeah, and I would just, occasionally go out to the 90,000 people, like, with some bowls, with some crackers and stuff, and make sure that they...
Are they having a good time? They need a cold drink? You ready for a cold drink?
No, it was cool. I mean, it was good for the country, and I think that the one of the benefits... of having an event this big is that when the world's eyes are on you, you kind of get your shit together.
Yeah.
They built a train.
You got a train.
I got a train out of the deal. So, sorry, tourists, awesome. You won't be using it anymore, but I'll just keep using it.
No problem. Don't worry.
So thanks for that. But on the other hand, it's a shame that it does take, a bunch of tourists coming in for them to fix a bunch of stuff for the people who actually live here.
It takes the entire world's attention for a brief period. To be like, hey,
like, oh, you know what? Maybe the people living here should have a train. Maybe that should happen.
Maybe we should get our stuff in order. How about that?
Maybe we should fix the roads.
Maybe. How about next email?
Love it.
Benjamin writes, with the change of developers in the Crackdown series seemingly leading to the low critical reception the second game received, yet the apparent financial success of the game, at least in the UK, do you see a Call of Duty-like situation where real-time worlds will go back to the series and Microsoft will try and annualize it by switching between real-time and Ruffian? Just a thought.
Real-time won't be doing another one. I think
they're going to be doing another one, period.
I don't think they'll be annualizing it. It's not that big a franchise.
Yeah, I mean, after the reception this one got, I don't think consumers want more. And I don't think
the first one was like a surprise hit, wasn't it? It was like a sleeper hit.
Yeah, and they sort of had an opportunity to capitalize on that, but they did not with the sequel. So,
and when they decided they wanted to, that kind of screwed them over in the end because the development time was so short on this one. I think it was like 8 to 9 months, wasn't it?
It was crazy, yeah.
So, I mean, they reacted too late, and then they still wanted to get it out quickly. So I think that really hurt the game because there's nothing new in it, really, judging by the reviews.
Yeah, it's not very good. Not a good game. 2 stars.
1 star out of 10.
What?
Yeah.
Is that your review? Is that your personal review?
I haven't played it, but
I think it's a stinkeroony. I wish
I'd played the demo, and I didn't think it was very good. So.
I wish I'd given a lower score. Stinker. Stinky game. Didn't like it. It smelled like a butt. It's a game made of butts.
So that's a game of butts. That's our new review score. How many butts?
How many butts is it made out?
Not a sweet ass game in that case. Josh from Ohio.
Good butt.
Josh from Ohio writes, why are we still paying $10 to $12 for entire digital albums that cost nothing to manufacture and distribute? Regarding movies, you pay $30 for a Blu-ray package, which includes DVD and a CD of a or a digital copy. Why would I watch a DVD if I bought the Blu-ray, and why is the digital copy even on a disc? Finally, you paid for the movie. Why do you still have to sit through Folgers and KIA commercials at the beginning? Actually, I think it's Kia commercials, but KIA makes it more fitting. He bought the Black Hawk Down Blu-ray. Okay, so it's KIA commercial.
This is in reference to the $60 price point, like where why have we not broken out of that cycle yet?
I actually agree.
Out that it's
with him here, actually.
Yeah, it's across all media. People are trying to make up for lost revenues. And I guess the answer probably for a lot of this stuff is piracy, right? Like they're trying.
Yeah, so absolutely. A big part of it's piracy. But a big part is exactly what you said, making it for lost time. So less people are buying full albums, right? They're buying individual songs. Less people are buying...
Fewer people,
thank you, are buying, let's say, certain movies. So you have to charge a little more. Or, I mean, DVD sales have plummeted recently.
But this all goes back to piracy still, is what I'm saying.
I don't think DVD sales have gone back to piracy. I think it's gone back to every single year, metrics show that there's increasing competition for consumers' entertainment time. That has to do with running websites. That has to do with making movies, music, concerts, events, movie theaters, and video games. So that battle oftentimes and heightened expectations on the part of consumers that they – you know, video games, look at it, for example. You can only make a great game. Like, anything less than that is just going to fail. Even some great games fail. So, you know, you have to sink so much money in with less of a chance of getting it back. And so there needs to be new ways, and games cost simply more and more to make. So even $60 might not necessarily fully recoup their investment. They need to do things like DLC. They need to have advertising in that game. You know, they need to look into as many avenues as possible to recoup that investment and try and make some money in case the game isn't a hit, or in case, you know, and if it is a hit and they make the money back on the retail sale and the advertising, then they make even more money, which is great for them and it's great for their shareholders, and it lets them make other games that could fail. So it's like, this is something you're seeing across the entire entertainment industry. And I don't have a problem for it. Like, I'm playing a game and it's got, I mean, so many people are freaking out about the $10 price point for Hulu Plus, which has ads in it. It's got, what is it? It's got, I think 1 minute of ads per 30-minute show versus 7 minutes of ads per 30-minute show on cable or on television, on over the air. So you're talking about significantly less ads already. Ads that are targeted, number two. And on top of that, you don't need cable. I mean, so many people are saying, oh, you know, if I had to pay for it, there shouldn't be ads. Well, you pay for cable television and it's got ads. Yeah, that's a paid service.
Until Hulu adds toddlers and tiers, I'm not switching off my cable. So
hey, sure.
I mean, that whole
point is, I think people are really sensitive about this idea of having to pay and get ads. I mean, ads are subsidizing your content. They subsidize your content right here with the podcast or with Joystick.
Not the podcast.
But you don't pay for anything. They subsidize your magazine experience, and they have done for a very long time. Magazines wouldn't normally be $3, you know, to print a bunch of glossy pages and ship it halfway across the world and then pay to produce it. You know, you have ads in there, and I don't know. It's a topic I'm sensitive about. Maybe it's because I run a website that people are still sensitive about ads on a free website, where it's like, hey, you know, we have to make money somehow. So, blah, blah,
blah. You say.
So you paid for the movie. Why do you have to sit through Folgers and Kia commercials at the beginning? Because that
KIA
movie cost,
commercials, actually.
KIA commercials, right?
And Folgers.
Because, and full years. because that movie cost 10 times as much to make as movies cost 20 years ago, and nobody goes to theaters anymore.
Yeah.
So you know, like, you're compensating for their business model, which, you know, needs some extras to make it work.
Yeah, I'm personally just annoyed by the Blu-ray packages, which give you more discs, because the last thing I need is more discs.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't buy buy discs pretty much at all anymore. As far like in terms of like a DVD,
especially giving you a DVD when you buy the Blu-ray. I mean,
yeah.
No thanks. Actually, the Blu-ray, so you can keep that.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. I don't understand that logic exactly. I mean, I guess it's a value add, but how about you just not make the Blu-ray cost $30?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do that too.
How about that?
Suck on that.
Thomas from Toronto writes, "Hey guys, I just wanted to let you know that the JPEG has got a new game night calendar. If you'd be so kind to tell everyone to head over to JPEG to check that out, it would be great." We're not going to do that because I just read your email and you told them. So
yeah, jerk. Take that. There should also be a link in the post. I'm planning on remembering to do that.
Okay, good.
The last thing is not really so much an email as it is an opportunity.
An announcement.
For awareness.
To save someone.
And, to save someone. Our buddy, James Gilliard, who he lives in England, and he has had
some... We're going to move him out of there. We're saving him.
No, he's had some health problems, and because of that, he hasn't been able to work, and because of that, he's getting thrown out of his house. He's going to be a homeless man. And we don't want James to live as a homeless man, because then he can't download our show and get us, make us rich. So... the JPEG, great guys that they are, Russell and the gang, are putting together a fundraiser in much the same way as New Gums Day helped current JPEG president Wesley Johnson afford new gums. I guess they were dead people gums that were grafted onto him, but still. They're going to have this fundraiser for James Gilliard to help him stay in a house. This is going to be July 25th, so 9 days from today, from 2 to 5 p.m. Central. What does that translate to? I'm not so good with the time zones, with the Central.
Who does Central? Central's an hour behind Eastern, I think.
Yeah, well, let's be sure about that. Can you check on that while I'm reading this? So like 1 to 4 p.m. East, or 3? Oh, fuck. Just look it up. The JPEG will host a live JPEG podcast extravaganza featuring fabulous prizes and live call-ins. This time, no prawns will be present. Oh, yeah, I said prizes. Prizes to, this is Russell.
Yeah, it's 1 hour back, Central.
So that will be 3 Eastern, right?
What time is it, Central?
No, that'll be... It's 2 Central is 3 Eastern.
Yes, right.
Correct. Right, so 3 to 6 Eastern Standard Time. Or, I guess, Eastern Daylight Savings Time.
Joystick time. That's the point.
Joystick time. Oh, yeah, I said prizes. Prizes will be awarded in fashion to be decided. Probably going to be some of the New Gums Day method with like a raffle for donors. So more details are coming out about that. Probably going to be on the JPEG. If you are good at something or make things that could be used as raffle prizes and you'd like to help, you can send a message to Russell. I don't know, but what's the best way to contact him? If not, just go to the JPEG and post on there, and they can set it all up. And if you want to donate right now, you can donate to jpeganimalrescue@gmail.com, and that's the email they set up for their first address. We're not saying that James is an animal, but if
he's not an animal,
he's not an animal,
he's a human being.
So if you want to get on board with that, you should go.
The best part about that is you thought that might have been an Elephant Man joke. But it was actually a police squad making fun of Elephant Man.
Correct. Cool.
Yeah, so there's that. We'll put a post up on the site, too, if you don't remember, and we'll link it in the show notes. So you'll have it all available to you. If you want to be a generous person, hey, if you don't, you know, if you want to only live for yourself... Donated. That's
Do you
fine.
Want me to beat you? That's not right. You wouldn't want me to beat you in the donation game.
Yeah, he's from a third world country, and he beat you.
Yeah,
I've donated $10,000 American. So if you,
no wonder you
yeah, so no wonder I live in a I don't have a house anymore. No, I'm not donating anything. Screw that guy.
So
think of
yeah,
but yeah, so that's a really nice thing those guys are doing. So. Get on board with that. As always, we don't do any of the really positive stuff. Everybody at the JPEG does all that. They do their goodwill for us. But go get involved.
Yeah, we accrue good karma vicariously through their actions.
Yeah. Yeah. When I go to heaven, JC will be like, "Did you do anything good?" Like, "No, but I started." But we okay. Let me take.
There's
I did,
a group that appreciated
we,
me.
Yeah, we had a podcast, and then, never mind. It's a long story. I was going to hell.
Look, this is going to take a while, and you're busy, so...
Put me back in purgatory.
Stop wasting
There's
time.
More Tang in hell, so...
So, that's our podcast that we do every week. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah. I mean, if you didn't, you know...
Well, I can't.
It's not our fault, you know? You should enjoy more stuff. How about that? Stop being so critical of people.
How about you live with joy in your heart for once? Ugh.
So, but yeah, no, thank you for listening. If you want to send us one of these emails that Ludwig will read with his charming accent, you can send it to podcast@joystick.com. If you want to send us a voicemail.
Make it short, please, for really the love short. Of Christ.
Take the email that you wrote. Sit on it for a day. Come back. Chop it. Send us 1/3 of that email.
Yeah, just like a sentence or two sentences. If you send us 5 paragraphs, you're wasting your time because we're not going to read it.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to send us 5 paragraphs, just go ahead and, I mean, send us some books. We have a lot of interests. You could just send us a whole novel.
Just write a book for us. Voicemails, those you can call, what is it,
1-877-JOYSTIQ. If you are Marco Lepolo, really, just call us.
Just call that crazier this time.
Explain. Just take a hit from that big 4-footer before you fall. Let us know what's going on. What else do we have for people? Oh, I know.
Tell me.
We already talked about the JPEG, but if any of you guys are, if you follow the Twitters, which is what all the kids do now, you should check out at Joystick is the first kind you should check out. That's all your hot scoops piped right into your smartphone of choice if that's the way you roll. B, you can follow each one of us. I'm at Chris Grant.
I'm at Ludwig K.
I'm at Justin McRoy.
And that'll give you, I mean, really just instant, up to the second information on whatever sandwich we may or may not be eating at the exact moment. So that'll be good to know. And that's it for our show. It's over.
Yesterday I linked to a picture of a baby getting kicked in the head.
So there you go. It's good stuff that that any God-fearing Christian would want to see.
Yeah. I have the most Christian Twitter feed, I think.
For sure.
For sure. It's mainly just prayers.
mostly
prayers.
For morning you. Prayer. He wakes up. Yeah, right, pray. Does a prayer on Twitter. It's good. And then Luddy has to roll into town with a lasso and just drag Justin.
It's for your own good.
I know you think it's wrong, but it's so right. That's our show. Well, thanks for listening, guys, and we'll see you next week. You'll hear us, rather. Audio show. Red
.com. Inspired Justin McElroy.